What's up? This is Movies on Up. Still the man. Any questions? I'm Dave, joined by my Still the Man co-host, Mr. Ryan.
No questions over here, only answers.
No questions. He is Ryan. I am Dave. We are Movies on Up. Tagline for this week, Still the Man. Any questions? If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or @moviesonup on Twitter, probably. If you are right and we pick you, you win the glorious Movies on Up prize package. This week, Kong Skull Island is set to steal our heart and climb to the top of the Empire State Building with it in Kong Skull Island, starring Brie Larson, bunch of people, and Samuel L. Jackson.
A monkey and Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. So we thought, hey, how have we done this almost 5 years and not done a Samuel L. Jackson list? So that's what we're doing this week, our favorite Samuel L. Jackson movies. I'm going to say, pretty excited about this.
There's a lot to choose from.
There's a lot of good stuff to choose from. I'm going through my list, and at one point, I usually start at the beginning of their IMDb page, their very first.
Right, chronologically.
And then go up. We're at year 2000, and I have 14 Sammy Jackson movies already. And I'm thinking, like, I could do, like, three top 10 lists already just pre-2000. Not so many after 2000. his career shifted a little bit, but still some. I think I ended up with, like, 20-some still. So, I mean, we could easily do pre-2000 Sammy Jackson and post-2000 Sammy Jackson. This was one of the harder lists to do because I like all these movies. I don't love all of them. So, I mean, they're all very interchangeable, and it was like, well, I like all of them for different reasons. So this one was just a fun one. I don't know how I figured out how to do it. I tried to keep it with stuff that maybe we haven't talked about a ton.
I can't say that I've done that.
That's fine, and I left off stuff that like yeah, I think you would have on there. It'll be fun. I have a lot of also-rans. We're going to talk about a lot of Samuel L. Jackson movies. So, Ryan, kick us off.
Maybe we don't do also-rans. Maybe we just keep them under our hat.
Oh, no, I want to talk about them all.
For another Samuel L. Jackson
3 years from now, we'll forget we did this episode, and we'll do another one, and then we can compare lists.
But because we've already called them also-rans, then they can't be on our list. You know what I mean? I think we made that mistake with our ladies.
It's fine. I'm going over my also-rans.
Fair enough. All right.
You're number five.
I will go
favorite Samuel L. Jackson movie.
My number five. My number five is Eight, The Hateful Eight from 2015, directed by Quentin Tarantino, starring Samuel L. Jackson, Kurt Russell, and Jennifer Jason Leigh. The thing that is always going to hold this movie back for me is its length. I feel like almost any discussion you have to have about this movie begins there because it is over 3 hours long, and in many ways it feels more like a miniseries than a movie. That being said, I think it's filmed beautifully. Without getting into a bunch of techie stuff that I don't even fully understand myself, it was filmed on actual film with a ridiculously wide lens to give viewers just an idea of how big and wonderful Wyoming must have been in the late 1800s. Jennifer Jason Leigh is fantastic in this movie. It's certainly a very unladylike role, kind of a troll of a person whom somehow you almost feel bad for at times. The other characters, like Sammy Jackson's Major Warren, seem a little more gray. It's over the top, maybe even more so than most of Tarantino's work, and Jackson seems to be able to rise to that level of almost cartoon-like intensity. In a movie where most characters are completely shitbags, you'd like to find someone to root for, and more often than not in this movie, Samuel L. Jackson is your man. And this movie also gets a fair amount of bonus points. Ennio Morricone, that did the score for this, took three tracks that he didn't use from the soundtrack he did for John Carpenter's The Thing and put it in this movie. So anytime you can be associated with The Thing, you're going to find yourself with a place on my list.
I hate this movie. I like it a lot more once C-Tate shows up because I didn't expect that at first. Spoiler alert. After that, the movie's better, but still,
it takes a long time to get anywhere. It's very slow. Yeah. It's very long.
Walton Goggins is good in it, though.
Yeah, he is.
My number five, I can't talk Sammy Jackson and not talk about this movie. One of my favorite Sammy L. Jackson scenes ever is him talking about a trip he was on and how they all made a promise not to talk about it. And then he gets eaten by a giant shark in Deep Blue Sea, starring Sammy Jackson, Thomas Jane, LL Cool J,
a CGI shark,
Stellan Skarsgård, genetically enhanced sharks. It's not a good movie by any means, but man, do I love this movie. I'll talk about it whenever I can. I'll watch it anytime I can. For years, if it was your birthday, I was posting the Sammy Jackson scene from it, just because why not? I like the idea of this movie more than I like the movie, but it's been so long since that I've felt that they've just kind of merged together. One of my favorite Sammy Jackson scenes is him getting eaten by the shark. That's my number five.
My number four is from 1996. It is Joel Schumacher's A Time to Kill, starring Samuel L. Jackson, Sandy Bullock, and Matthew McConaughey. It is somewhat amazing that of all the really great roles Samuel L. Jackson has turned in, that he has only been nominated for an Oscar exactly one time. That movie is higher on my list, but I think that this easily could have been the second time. It's intense for sure, but not cartoony in the least. He spends the movie filled with this completely understandable rage after his daughter is, spoiler alert, raped and nearly killed by a couple of racists. I believe Nikki Catt is one of them. There's some bonus points there, too. Some deep-level movies on up bonus points. You mentioned the scene with the shark, which is certainly iconic Samuel L. Jackson. I feel like he's good for moments in movies. And in this movie, the line that you always... I hope they burn in hell. Yeah, that's all-time level Samuel L. Jackson. And in terms of lines exclaimed from the witness box, I believe it's right up there with You Can't Handle the Truth. I guess that list would be kind of interesting to do. Like the top five things shouted during a courtroom. I mean, courtroom movies, 12 Angry Men, probably.
That Michael Richards one, Jury Duty.
No, I don't think so. I would give A Few Good Men just below 12 Angry Men. Then maybe A Time to Kill. Who knows?
Trial and Error. That's the Michael Richards one.
Aaron Brockovich. That's got to be up there, I think.
Jury Duty.
Yeah. With My Cousin Vinny.
I do love it.
I see where you're going with this. Schumacher, I do think, gets a great performance out of everyone in A Time to Kill, which is not that surprising from him and from this cast. Kevin Spacey is wonderful in this movie as the Southern District Attorney. And McConaughey shows that he's actually a really competent actor and that the skills have always been there. It's just when he chooses to go a good decade without using them, it's easy to forget.
This was my number one, but I'm going to make it.
I thought it would be on your list somewhere.
I'm just going to piggyback it. I'm going to replace it as my number one.
Fair enough.
I put it my number one because I think this is far and away his best performance of his career.
I kind
of
think so, too.
Because this is not Sammy Jackson the cartoon. This is Sammy Jackson. He's had some great performances, but he's kind of turned into this thing where he's just... Not that you don't take him serious, but he's become such a larger-than-life figure that you know what you're getting out of Samuel L. Jackson. Like some of his...
Or you know what you want to get.
Yeah.
From him.
And this is pre any of that. Like this is...
This is him as an actor.
This is him as an actor and showing that like you don't by accident have a 30-year movie career where you're in every movie ever and you're headlining
in
movies.
30 years.
So, I mean, he has the skill. And this was my number one just because I think it's the... Samuel L. Jackson performance. When I look back on his career, I can't see anything topping this. Not saying he's all downhill from here, but like
right.
This is such a good performance. And it's a really good movie. My number four, not as good of a movie, but it's a movie.
I thought you were going to make this your number four.
No, I piggybacked off yours.
Oh, okay.
I'm replacing
You're
my
replacing.
Number one.
I see. Okay.
I just want to talk about that.
Fair enough.
My number four, not an all-time classic movie, which I think Time Kill, just I think his performance alone is worthy of being remembered. Mine is, it led to David Caruso leaving NYPD Blue.
No, yeah, NYPD Blue.
It is from 1995, Kiss of Death, starring David Caruso, Nicolas Cage, Helen Hunt, and Samuel L. Jackson. I hate Caruso. He's kind of just the thread that holds the movie together. Samuel L. Jackson as Calvin Hart is really good in this movie. It's a great Nicolas Cage movie. Nicolas Cage in this movie is awesome. Michael Rapaport's in it. There's a lot of good about this movie. Caruso gets out of and he goes undercover to hunt down a mobster. I really like Nicolas Cage in this movie. I really do. And Sammy Jackson's good. Those two are really, really good. And then Caruso's there, who's kind of the lead, but is third fiddle to these guys. But it's worth watching just for Nicolas Cage's role. Like, this is when Cage was in that still being taken seriously part.
Right, like
but
Oscar,
still being Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, Oscar award winner Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, so I don't know why. There's always been something about this movie that I've just really liked.
The third fiddle movie on my list comes from the year 2000, so it's right at that tipping point between pre-2000 Sammy Jackson and post-2000. Long before he donned the eye patch as Nick Fury, he was involved in a great superhero movie, and it is M. Night Shyamalan's Unbreakable, starring Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson, and Robin Wright. It's also a great hero origin story, not just for the hero David Dunn, but also kind of the origin of superheroes specifically in this world Shyamalan builds. Jackson's Elijah Price is born with a genetic disorder that causes his bones to be extremely fragile. And at least according to him, if a genetic mutation can cause that, he reasons that there must be someone with a similar mutation, but on the opposite side of that scale, it's just the universe trying to maintain homeostasis and kind of balance itself out. Enter Dunn, the sole survivor of a train crash, receiving not even a single scratch. What I like about this movie is not really Bruce Willis. It is Samuel Jackson, because he's somewhere between super fan of super, a guy runs a comic book shop, and like Sage, as he kind of helps the superhero grasp his powers. It's a really, really cool role for Jackson. Price lacks most of the badass factor that I think people just associate with Samuel Jackson now, but he does a really great job of playing up the exact opposite, the fragility of that character. And of course, in true Shyamalan fashion, that character gets pretty freaking cool at the end of the story. For years, I've been hoping for a sequel that would really put the Mr. Glass, David Dunn story to a fitting rest. And I feel like that's probably closer than ever to actually happening now. And if you believe Mr. Shyamalan, he's working on it as we speak.
I had this on my list as well. I'm going to replace it with something else just so I can talk about more.
Uh-oh.
This is my favorite movie Samuel Jackson's been in, I think. Well, no. It's one of them.
Do you like it more than A Time to Kill? Yeah, you probably do.
I do like it more than A Time to Kill. Out of Sight, though. He shows up at the end in a cameo there.
Yeah.
So I think I would put that over this, probably. But this is my favorite movie that was in my list. It's no longer in my list. It's just such a good movie. And I love it. I just watched it the other day. I love this movie so much.
Out of the blue, that's kind of strange why you would just sit down and watch Unbreakable.
Yeah, I don't know why.
It's kind of weird that it's been on all the movie channels now.
I know, and I've watched it like three times
it's
in
like
the last
some
2 weeks.
Kind of conspiracy.
I say I just watched it when I've watched it like three times. But in its defense, I also watched all but the last 10 minutes of Signs as well recently. So for some reason, I'm on a Shyamalan
kick. Is there
a
Signs sequel that's been out?
But I replaced it in my number three instead. Another 90s movie starring Nicolas Cage and Samuel L. Jackson. It's from 1993, Amos and Andrew. This is in that prime time of like late 80s, early 90s, when action comedy felt like a lot more. It felt like there were stakes. Stuff like Mo Money and 48 Hours and stuff like that, where there were stakes. And Amos and Andrew was just a silly comedy where Samuel L. Jackson's a writer that buys a vacation home and the local police mistake him for a thief or a burglar. So they surround the house and then realize they made a mistake. So they take Nicolas Cage out of jail to have him go pretend to hold up and take Sammy Jackson hostage. And then they realize, like, oh, if we both get shot, then it's over. Like, all their problems are gone. So it just turns into these guys who were put together in the stupidest of scenarios together trying to escape the stupidest of scenarios. And it's really funny. I like mid-90s Nick Cage because this and Trapped in Paradise came out really close to each other. They're both kind of Nick Cage on the run movies, and I really, really like them. I like Sammy Jackson here because he's essentially the straight guy here. Like, he's the well-to-do one, which seems so...
Now it seems crazy that Samuel Jackson is like the straight, understated guy in a movie.
It's a really competent early 90s comedy, and I really like it. It's my number three and has been the whole time.
My number two, I feel like might be a movie that, it certainly is a movie that could be on your list. Now, it may get taken off, or maybe you left it off because you knew I was going to do it. But it is another movie post 2000 wherein Samuel L. Jackson plays a bad guy, and that is in Matthew Vaughn's Kingsman: The Secret Service from 2014, starring Colin Firth, Taron Egerton, and Samuel L. Jackson. Valentine in this movie, I think, certainly has the plotting ability and terrorist leanings of Mr. Glass, but he gets to play this role with that signature Jackson confidence. And I think that this movie really couldn't fit Samuel Jackson any better. It's way over the top in terms of plot and violence, but most of the characters, because they are stuffy British folks, are reserved. So this gives Sam Jackson carte blanche to be as out there as he wants and not push the movie off a crazy cliff. I understand the lisp that he's doing, but even that, like, doesn't seem like it's just too much for the movie, because everybody else is kind of just like hanging in there and playing this thing straight. And as much as it is an homage or a satire of the Bond movies, it seems like Valentine could certainly be based on a Bond villain or two. He's got the plots down. He hires henchmen that have quirks like a Bond villain. But at every possible turn, he reminds the heroes and the audience that this is not that kind of movie. Somehow I had impossibly low expectations for this, even being a Matthew Vaughn movie. But it was one of my biggest surprises of the past couple years, and I am so looking forward to this year's sequel. And someone is going to have some very large villain shoes to fill.
Yeah, I left this off my list only because I knew you'd have it, but I wanted to talk about it. Because I say Unbreakable is probably the best movie he's been in, like, other than just a cameo. A Time to Kill is his best performance. I think Kingsman might be my favorite performance of his. I love him in this movie. I love that he just went for it. And you mentioned it, Nate, the confidence of Samuel L. Jackson. Not everybody can approach this character that way and pull it off. Like, he pulls it off, but he goes at it just full steam ahead. I love his performance in this movie. My number two probably was my favorite Samuel L. Jackson performance until this movie. It's from 1996, directed by Reginald Hudlin. I try to talk about it any chance I get. It's The Great White Hype, where Samuel L. Jackson plays a Don King-esque character with Goldblum, Peter Berg, Corbin Burns, and John Lovitz, Cheech Marin, Jamie Foxx, Damon Wayans. I love this movie. This is when I was into boxing, both doing it and watching it. So this was huge for me. It's funny. It sums up that era of boxing great. Like, it's a straight up satire, but it sums up what Don King did to the sport and what he was doing to the sport. Like, he was basically killing the sport that he gave relevance to. And Samuel L. Jackson plays it perfectly. He just plays this terrible, terrible character. I love this movie, and I love Sammy Jackson in it.
My number one is probably no surprise. It is from 1994, directed by Quentin Tarantino, starring Samuel L. Jackson, John Travolta, Bruce Willis, a lot of folks. It is Pulp Fiction. This movie changed a lot for me. It changed how I watch movies and what I appreciate about them specifically. To that point in my life, the genres of movies that I liked were somewhat limited. Comedies were fine, horror movies I could enjoy, and whatever genre, the Star Wars genre. I like that one a lot too. I thought that I was really only capable of being entertained by a movie if it had the ability to make me laugh, like slapsticky kind of laughter, or if I was seeing a masked killer cut a bunch of people up. Tarantino's writing specifically made me pay attention to everything, not just that I saw, but that I heard on the screen as well. There is an art to dialogue as much as there's an art in designing a really, really cool monster. And there's tons of different ways to make a movie. And while I wouldn't exactly call a Tarantino movie subtle, it showed me that I could love a movie about a couple of mob henchmen as much as I could love one about some space cowboys in a galaxy far, far away.
Ice Pirates?
Yes, Ice Pirates is the movie that I'm referencing. It was also the first time that I remember seeing Sam Jackson on the screen and thinking that he might just be one of the coolest dudes on the face of the planet. Granted, he was working for a bad guy doing bad guy henchman things, but he seemed to make that life look appealing. And in this movie, you get the best of both Jacksons. And I think it can be distilled in the Ezekiel speeches that he gives. The first time, well, when he does it chronologically first in the movie, it is with the righteous fury Jackson, and then the cooler Brother's Keeper Jackson shows up later on in the movie, and you get to kind of see both gears of Jackson. Long before he got the role of Shaft in that awful remake, Jules showed that Samuel Jackson could be the baddest motherfucker. The storytelling in Pulp Fiction, being nonlinear and sort of vignette style, was a first for me. I'd never seen a movie like that before. And while Jules and Vince are the main characters, I love that scene with Butch and Marcellus and Zed, and even a young Butch hearing the story about his father's pocket watch from Christopher Walken is phenomenal. I can't think about Pulp Fiction and not think about that, or Harvey Keitel showing up as the wolf. Well, it may not have impacted some as much as it did me. It was a complete revolution for a young Ryan sitting watching this movie. And I'm not sure that I'm doing this show for going on 5 years if it weren't for Pulp Fiction. And I give a ton of credit to Samuel Jackson for that, for his performance as a character that in any other movie is basically just an extra. But this was a movie that highlighted those extras and showed that they were complete characters. And I think he was actually a complete character in this. He starts the movie, or at least chronologically in his journey, he's fully bought into working for Marcellus Wallace. And by the end of it, he's a completely different dude and he's ready to leave that life behind. So I like Pulp Fiction a lot. In summation,
I enjoy Pulp Fiction as well. My number one, a movie that I love a whole bunch. It was A Time to Kill, back in a different version of this timeline. So I got to replace it with a movie that was very, very hard to leave off of my top five Samuel Jackson movies. So it's only fitting that it ends up being my number one, because it absolutely deserves to be there.
Because that's how numbers work.
It is a sequel to one of my favorite movies ever, starring Bruce Willis and Samuel Jackson, from 1995, directed by John McTiernan. It is Die Hard with a Vengeance. I love Sammy Jackson in this movie. I love McClane. I love John McClane from Die Hard, from the first Die Hard movie. I really, really like.
John McClane of Die Hards 1 and 3.
Yep. I love the dynamic there. Like, as silly as Nick Cage and Sammy Jackson were together, and Amos and Andrew, something about McClane, who's just this bitter, drunk man, and then Sammy Jackson, who's just this bitter man, and them together begrudgingly, really, really fun. Like, I just really, really like this movie as a diehard movie. It's the last good one. It's the second good one. It's really, really good. And he's not just there to be there. Zeus is a good character. He has a lot to do. He's not just there chewing up scenery. I don't feel like he's Joe Pesci in the Lethal Weapon
sequels.
That's
kind of what comes to mind immediately.
On paper, I think that's what it's going to come off like. But I don't think it does at all. Like, I feel like he's added there just as Joe Pesci was, just to chew up scenery, to crack jokes. But he's not that. And a lot of that is because of what Samuel Jackson brings to it. He's a dude. Like, Samuel Jackson brings this realness to everything, to where
he's a character. He's a person that exists in that world and not just somebody to deliver lines, deliver jokes.
As big as life as Samuel L. Jackson is, and as cartoony as he can be, he's always in it. Like, I think he's always believable in what he's doing.
He never writes it in.
It's so hard to explain. What I'm trying to say is that, like, with some actors, you know you're getting intensity. You know you're getting everything they have. With Samuel Jackson, you don't know what you're going to get, because he brings so many different things, but you know that it's going to be confident, that it's going to be 100% delivered, and that it's going to work. Because as crazy as he gets sometimes, he pulls it off, and there's always something about it. His workload is so much, and I feel like sometimes he does come off as a punchline because, oh, he's in so many movies. But then when you go back and you look at his filmography and you look at some of the performances he gives, it's like, oh yeah, he's been a big-time movie star for 30 years, and it's not stopping anytime soon, that he's going to be remembered for a long time. not as a sidekick, not as the token black guy, not as just a dude who shows up. Oh, yeah, he was in that thing. No, he's like a legitimate big-time movie star and one of the most successful actors of a generation with one of the most impressive resumes. And you're not just getting Samuel L. Jackson, the name that might get people to tune in. You're getting a great performance.
Can I ask a very serious question?
Yeah.
You did more than five movies because I stole some of yours. This is what should tell you all you need to know about how much Dave likes Samuel L. Jackson. We just did eight Samuel L. Jackson movies, and Juice did not come up.
It was on there. It's my first also-ran, only because his part's not very big.
No, it's not.
This isn't about so much the movies of Samuel L. Jackson. This is about Samuel L. Jackson.
Right, okay.
Whereas sometimes, like, if somebody shows up in Juice, which is, I love that movie, I'm going to try to mention it. But Samuel L. Jackson's just like he owns the arcade that they hang out in. He's not in it that much. Out of Sight is one of my favorite movies ever. He shows up in a small cameo at the end.
I don't even know if
he's
credited for that, is he?
No, he's uncredited in that. Because he only shows up at the end.
Yeah.
The other guys, it's a smaller part at the beginning.
Hang on to your butts?
Jurassic Park I have on there. So, I mean, like, and I mean, that one almost made it. Because I think he's really good.
He's got a big enough role in that,
right?
Yeah.
But yeah, Juice is there, Jurassic Park, Menace to Society.
Yeah.
True Romance is another one that I love, but I don't consider that a Sammy Jackson movie. Pulp Fiction, Fresh.
Jackie Brown, just every movie, Tarantino movie.
Fresh, I think, is a really good movie. It reminds me a lot of, in a different way, of Dope from a couple of years ago, where it's just this street smart kid that wants to take everybody down. I think Dope was the better movie, but I think Fresh, there's a lot of the same parallels there. The Incredibles, Unthinkable is a really good movie that I think kind of flew under the radar, but if you see it, it's him and Michael Sheen. Really, really intense. And this is some intense Samuel L. Jackson. Kite, I like, and then Big Game is just a blast. So that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of Sammy Jackson. And I left off movies that I like. Like, these are movies that I really like.
Long Kiss Goodnight, I'm surprised didn't make either list. I'm the guy that likes Formula 51. I don't know.
It's not bad.
I don't know what it is about that. Maybe it's just the kilt. I don't know, but I like some Formula 51. The Negotiator, I think, is great.
I almost put that. That's a good movie.
You Want My Blood, Take My Blood. That's another great Samuel Jackson scene. There are so many. I mean, literally, we could sit here all night, and I didn't put any of the Star Wars ones on. But I think that Mace Windu is a great character.
Yeah, one of the few highlights of those.
Yeah, and I would be totally down if they figured out a way to Boba Fett him and make him alive again. I totally watch that. Maybe that's what they mean. The Last Jedi is actually Mace Windu, and it's going to be a big Shyamalan twist at the end of that.
He's Snope or Snape.
Yeah, I don't think so. although I did think I read that on Reddit at some point. Get these motherfucking snakes off my motherfucking plane.
Yeah, that wasn't as good as I wanted it to be.
Black Snake Moan, I love.
Yeah, that's another
Just
one.
Ran across that on Netflix a couple days ago. I was like, he's
so
great.
Many of them that my also-rans have also-rans. Like, there's some that, like, I don't know that he's appreciated. I think people love the idea of Samuel L. Jackson without really appreciating, like, oh, shit, we do for a reason.
Because they don't think about it.
Exactly.
If you think about it, then, yes, you totally get why you love Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. Next week, we'll be back. The Negotiator, I guess, would kind of be an Office-based movie. But next week, James Gunn's Velcro Experiment comes out. So we're taking a look at our favorite Office-based movies. That'll be fun. And then we got The Martian the week after that. Something I haven't plugged this year. We're into March, and I haven't mentioned Created Weekly this year. Created Weekly was where I wrote a new short story every week for all of 2016. This year,
Adultergeist.
Yes.
You may be familiar with.
Me and a handful of people are drawing a new picture every week. There's about 7 entries every week. So check out createdweekly.com. I'm pretty happy with it this year. But until next week, when we are talking our favorite Office-based movies,
keep it up.